following original radio talk network show is really guaranteed the right to offend, annoy, agitate, shout heresy, and entertain.
You should start programming right now.
Kind of like the cultural sewage served up on Bravo or CMT, only it's on 24 hours a day, except Sundays. When the truth gets you angry and you throw your smartphone, remember, no one is forcing you to listen to the truth on the Veritas Radio Network.
You can't handle the truth!
You're doing that of your own free will. That's what makes this country great, and any gay marriage pointless.
That's offensive!
So there isn't much you can do about it, Chotterhead.
I'm trying to think, but nothing happens.
Grab a book, take a vow, and conform your mind to reality. Otherwise, you're just another Judas-inspired Karl Marx wannabe.
And your children will steal your credit card number to buy tickets to the Miley Cyrus Twerker's Ball.
I came in like a wrecking ball.
Are you ready? Let's get it on the Veritas Radio Network's Crusade.
The following original talk show is rated NU. No usury abuse is tolerated. Some content may be offensive to term life insurance plan owners. Chestertonian discretion is advised. States, Harry Oprah Winfrey has no talk show these days. Harry Carey can't have a talk show anymore. But when David Simpson talks, people listen. And so will you to The True Money Show, exclusively on the Veritas Radio Network channels. Crusade.
Money don't get everything, is true. But what it don't get, I can't use. I need money. That's what I want. That's what I want. That's what I want. Money.
All right, everyone. Today is December the 9th. A day that will go down in infamy. It's 11 o'clock. Time for lunch. Who's hungry? Christopher's hungry. I'm having coffee for lunch. What are you having? Call in to the True Money Show on the Crusade Channel, the Veritas Radio Network, and let me know what you're chowing down on while you're listening to these words of wisdom. 844-5-CRUSADE, 844-527-8723. You can email me. Yes, I have the email up already. You know, I'm a little more prepared today than I was last time. It just depends on the day, guys, as to what I've got going on in my life and in my head. I do find myself very distracted lately, and I'm trying to get some more time for quiet reflection and contemplation so I can gather my thoughts and express them well, because I sure hate to think that I'm leading people astray or that I'm miscommunicating. So, you know, that's always a possibility. And please, if you don't understand something, by all means, call me up and challenge me. Make sure that I'm expressing myself the way I ought to. David at tffco.com. I actually have an email from a listener for after last show, and I'm going to not talk directly to his question because his question was not on the subject matter of today, but I think it's going to have some... It applies ancillary in an ancillary way to what he's asking me, and so I think what I'm going to talk about will at least answer in some respects his question to me. So we'll get to that in just a minute. We have really an awesome show today, as always. Not the only show on the network, as I'm sure you are aware. I hope you are listening to me each day at from noon to 1, I'm sorry, 11 to 1 Central Time, sharing your lunch with me and hoping that you, I'm hoping I'm providing you with some good financial tidbits and knowledge and information. But beyond finance, I'm trying to get into different areas of just the geopolitical world a little bit in an effort, as all efforts in the Veritas Radio Network are, to try to drive some reform at the very most basic level. That's the individual level. If we can get people to start acting right, what do you know? Maybe our government will follow suit. But it does start with us, guys. We know that, and that's a rough thing to admit. But once you admit it, the rest of it's kind of gravy, you know. It's downhill from there. 844-5-CRUSADE, 844-527-8723. Really good show today. As I was mentioning earlier, though, not the only show on the network. You got the Mike Church Show first thing in the morning. You wake up, and you get energized. Whenever I go on Mike's show, I don't care how bad I feel. When I walk in the door, before I leave, I'm amped up, ready to take on the world, because Mike just kind of charges me up that way. I think you got to start your mornings off that way yourselves before you go out and slaughter the beast out there in everyday America. So Mike Church Show first thing, and then, of course, my show at 11 to 1. Mark Crescens comes on in the drive time in the afternoon. I've given Mike and Mark Roman names, so Mark is now Marcus Kreselinus. And Mike didn't know this, but I just gave him this name, Michele Ecclesia. That's Mike Church for you Latin speakers out there. So Mike Church, Michele Ecclesia comes on in the morning. Boring old David Simpson with not a Roman name comes on at noon, 11 to 1, and then Marcus Kreselinus comes on. You know, basically what's happening, you got the gladiator in the morning and a gladiator in the afternoon, and you got the Christian that gets eaten by the lions right there in the middle of the day. That's the lineup now. Christopher likes that. Christopher, Christ bearer, he's going to carry me out of that the Colosseum. He's going to save me from the lions.
Because, unfortunately, the V in David, they had no U, right?
So right, right. V, so yeah. So I'm like Daeed or something like that, you know? Yeah. Yeah, it's rough, these Vs, you know. Well, okay. So we have a really good show today. I've got, I'm going to tell you a story about the 300 million yen robbery. That's going to come in my little This Day in Money History segment. The top three financial issues to address in everyone's financial plan. I know you think, wow, can you sum it down to the top three? I can, and I'm going to tell you what those are later on in the show. Of course, I'm going to take all your calls and emails. I'm getting lots of emails. I've been getting very sparing calls. So pick up the phone or pick up the app on your phone and press the call now button. Very simple to get in here. I'm going to start another Heroes and Zeros segment. I have not gotten one negative comment. Everything I've gotten about the one I did on Salazar has been very positive. I hope you like it. I know there's some reading going on, but I think with the commentary, it makes it a little bit more interesting. And I just think we need these examples of people who changed their time or changed the world around them at during their time to some degree, and to show how goodness and beauty and truth can succeed if someone stands up and leads it. So I'm going to start another Heroes and Zeros. Then the question I got from the emailer, Bradley, he asked about, you know, going to work in this industry. Again, I'm not going to address this question specifically. I want to thank him, though, for the email. But I'm going to talk about what to look for in a financial advisory firm. This is not to toot my own horn, but I am going to say, I'm going to basically talk about it from my personal perspective, which is why I set my firm up the way I've set my firm up. I think it'll give you some insights into both my thinking, but more importantly, into the financial services arena. And I think it's going to, like I said, tangentially answer Bradley's question. And then, of course, we're going to do our financial weather report. Christopher, I'm getting a little bit of a strange... Okay, it's gone now. My headphones were kind of acting a little strange there. Well, let's move on. Everyone yell out if you'd like to.
Gloom, despair, and agony on the
Everyone likes this song.
Deep, dark depression, excessive misery.
And you know what it means.
If it weren't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all.
All right. You know that song always opens up the Financial Weather Report. I cannot go a day without having the Financial Weather Report, so we are going to get right into it. And, let me see if I can get this thing to work. All right, Financial Weather Report. This is simple and straightforward. The S&P 500 is up $7.29, or 0.3%. I'm sorry, yes, 0.3% for the day. These are broad market indices, by the way. The Wilshire 5000. Up $79.38, or 0.34%. Guys, these numbers are about a half an hour old, I think. So if I'm off a few bucks, or if it rapidly took off, please forgive me. One other thing, I've been saying the market's been flat, and they've just had these very small little gains over the course of each day, and that's pretty much been true since I started the Financial Weather Report. But you know, the other day, I think it was yesterday, there was a significant run up in the market, and so. Having these little gains afterwards are, you know, this is no small potatoes here. We are seeing a little general rise in the market. in my opinion, somewhat contrary to all fundamental analysis. Like, I don't know that the earnings of the corporations are justifying this growth in their share price, but we are seeing a pretty general advance across the market sectors here. Let's look at the EFA index. It's up 8 cents or 0.14%. The AG, which is AGG, which is basically the core U.S. bond index, that is down. Of course, equities and bonds usually go opposite each other or counter to one another. That's down 20 cents or 0.18%. And then the other, you know, if you talk about these broad market indices, they're generally talking about large corporations and the large cap companies like the S&P 500 and Dow are definitely those types. Wilshire's more of a broad-based market indice. But the SMID-cap, what I call SMID-cap, small and mid-cap companies, represented by the Russell 2500, that's up 74 cents or 0.14%. Continuing on with the financial report card, I'm sorry, with the financial weather report, I should say. Michael T. George asked me last week, I think it was, you know, can you give us some tips and advice on how do we help our children through investing and saving and getting financially savvy? And what he says, there's just not a lot of information out there. And, you know, I think there is some information out there in books and so on. Not quite what he was looking for. I think he was like, you know, where do you start? And I think the most common place to start for people, and I mean, this is already existing. I'm not going to give you anything. This isn't a news flash here. The most common place to start, I think, is savings accounts. People buy savings account or sometimes savings bonds for kids. I'm not going to knock that. That's fine. I mean, any savings, I think, is an advance, is good. The question is that the smartest place to put it? And, you know, we can argue there's different, all these financial issues have multiple things that impact them. Taxation being one. Titling of the account being another. Like, whose name is it in, and why does that matter? Can you get decent returns is always an issue that we're trying to address. So there's lots of different things that, so you can't answer necessarily across the board for any particular product. But Michael George was asking me, you know, give me some basic tips. So, you know, I thought, well, one of the most basic tips I can give is, since so many people open savings accounts for their children, why don't they just consider opening a brokerage account instead? You know, what's a brokerage account? Well, brokerage accounts and bank accounts have been kind of melding one into each other. They, you know, the banks seem to want to move into the securities business, and the securities firms seem to want to move into the banking business, and the lines are getting rather blurred. Well, since they are so blurred, it used to be a brokerage account you bought stocks and bonds in, and a bank account you put cash in, and now they're, like I said, they're kind of combining these two concepts. So you open a brokerage account these days, and you can get cash vehicles in there. So you have the ability, in other words, to save. I have a brokerage account, and I put my children's savings in there. It's in my name, but I keep it separately accounted as to who owns what inside the account, so my kids know how much their money's worth. It gives you the ability to save money. You can put it in money markets. You can put it in laddered CDs if you want. It doesn't really matter what the cash vehicle is, but you do have the ability to save money inside a brokerage account. You also have the ability to get these debit cards on the brokerage account if you want, or check writing ability. So beyond a normal savings account, you now have the ability to access the money when you need to, which I think is pretty nice. If, as Dr. Michael George was alluding to me, what if you want to teach your kids about investments? Well, this is a great place to teach a kid about investments, because within this very same account, they can invest in stocks and mutual funds. So the brokerage account has that benefit to it as well. And then let's say your kid just becomes kind of a whiz and likes the market and likes the whole idea of investing. Now, I want to temper this suggestion, by the way. I think jumping into the market early is usually the wrong thing to do, especially when you're talking about young adults. If kids, I guess, playing around with it to learn something about it, nothing wrong with that. But for young adults, it's such a push to put them into retirement accounts, it's usually a mistake. I think you need to save cash first. But if you're just trying to teach your kid, and your kid shows an aptitude and really likes the idea of investing, and likes the idea of putting money to work in companies, you can actually, like I said, invest in stocks and mutual funds, but you can actually do options trading and margin trading if you'd like. Again, that's a little bit more advanced concept, but can be very profitable, very lucrative for someone who gets a certain mastery in different techniques there. So, again, for those who want to introduce their kids to investing, go beyond the savings account concept. You can get all the things you have in a savings account plus more within a brokerage account, and it might be something you want to consider just for the purposes of introducing your kids to this idea. So that's kind of my financial weather report for today and the idea of a tip for children to invest. Now make sure you tell the kids they can lose money in this investment account, okay?
Depression, excessive misery. If it weren't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. Gloom, despair, and agony on me.
Why does that song make me happy? Oh, Archie, I don't know what I'm going to do. My mama done flown away from me. It's a happy, sad song. I remember Steve Martin used to do a bit where he plays the banjo, and he would do this bit where he'd play some banjo licks and go, you know, it's impossible to be sad when you're playing the banjo. And he'd start this really nice lick of ding 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 ding, you know, and he'd go, oh, death and grief and sorrow and murder. And it sounded so, incongruous, it was ridiculous. But that was just Steve Martin's typical insane comedy that he always did. So try, maybe you can look that up on YouTube. Look up Death, Grief, Murder, and something else. Steve Martin's banjo act. Well, that's the financial report card. Yeah, that song makes me happy. I don't really know why, but it does. Let's get to 844-5-CRUSADE, 844-527-8723 is how you get in here today. The phone lines are not lit up. Is it just because it's Friday? This is Free Phone Friday, though. I need to get Mike's song and play the Free Phones Friday song to encourage everyone to call in. But they're not doing it just yet. And if you want to email me, I do have my email open, david@tffco.com. All right, well, I'm going to move on to Bradley's question. So, this fella Bradley wrote me a little email, and again, I'm not going to read his whole email, or I'm just going to address kind of tangentially his question. But I wanted to get to the topic of how do you choose an investment advisory firm, and I really don't like that title for this segment, but because it's going to sound like, oh, obviously pick me, and I don't care if you pick me or not. I'm just going to give you some ideas on how I built my firm and why I chose the way I built my firm. And it might kind of cue in your mind, oh, I see the dangers from the other side. Okay?
David, now,
yes?
Your firm and how you built it.
Yes. What does that mean? What?
Strict.
Huh?
You gotta go strict, your firm and how you
built it. Oh, boy. I tell you what. Sometimes Christopher's mind, he's got a very astute mind for these little nuanced verbal games, and here he's coming back.
From the beginning, I was like that. You know, I was born like that.
Christopher's a good dude, man. So I built my firm with certain things in mind. Now I won't say they were all consciously chosen. They were sometimes chosen in reaction. They were sometimes chosen proactively. Sometimes they were just fell out on my rear end back into the decision, but. But looking back, I can see where they benefited me. And Bradley basically has been approached about getting into the financial services arena and rejected the idea a few years ago and now is kind of considering it again. So I'm going to write him an email later to explain more what I think the answer to his question is. But I think if he hears what I think about financial planning firms in general and why I built mine the way I did, even by happenstance on occasion, it might give him some insight into what he might do in this industry. So first, let's talk about my firm. My firm, the Fiscal Fitness Company. You want to look me up? FiscalFitnessCompany.com on the internet. You can also type in that TFFCO.com. It should link through. I'm a small firm. Matter of fact, I'm so small, I'm hardly noticeable. One man with half of an employee when my wife decides she wants to help me instead of helping the children. That is a little bit of a choice and a little bit of just, like I say, the way things worked out. But in hindsight, I can say that I prefer small to large. And I think I feel that way and think that way on just about every topic. I mean, I don't like big government. I want government small. I don't want big money around because I find monopolies to be very slow to change and not very helpful. I don't like bureaucracies, big, you know, big government, but in bureaus, I don't like that very much. You see that how unresponsive they are. It's just one of these things. Well, look at it. Even in fairy tales, we don't like the giant, right? Jack, who kills the giant, is better. He's not gigantic. He's not grotesque. He's not so large and disgusting that we can't stand him. I'm that way. That's a Chestertonian principle. I like small. What about independent? Okay, I don't know if you know this, but man, throughout the financial services world, there's these contests. Oh, if you sell X, you get to go to Cancun. And if you push enough of the annuity product, you get to join us up in Canada for a ski trip next year. And look, I will say there was one time I was tempted by one of these things. I saw it and I was like, oh man, that's pretty good. Maybe I should really get busting my butt on. But I finally came to my senses and went, wait a second, what if my client doesn't need that product? And what if the person who's talking to me doesn't want that concept? And so independence is a big deal because if you don't have independence from the firms, you typically will get sucked into their sales game. And then it becomes more of a client manipulation than it does a client help. Private. This is kind of private and privacy. Well, people talk to me all the time, and there's this great sense that they're kind of embarrassed about their money situation. And it, by the way, they shouldn't be. This is just the sense that I get. Money is very, very personal. It's very, very serious. Everyone feels like their measure of success comes from their money. And by the way, we need to dissuade everyone of that idea. But that being said, because they have all these kind of preconceived notions and feelings and, you know, whatever, programming going on in their head, it's usually a great relief to them to know that when they send me a document, that I'm the only one reading it. You know, they've come to trust me through talking to me on the phone, and they think, oh, good, well, the secretary's not seeing it, and neither is the manager, and neither is the other five salesmen, and whatever. So private and privacy, I think, is a big deal for most people. I don't have any selling requirements. Now, this is rough, because when I didn't have as big of an enterprise, not having a lot of people to buy from me, sometimes, man, I didn't get to eat as well as I'd like to eat. But if you have selling requirements, I mean, the name kind of explains itself. If there are selling requirements, then you don't really care if what you're selling fits the person. All you care is meeting the requirement. This is very common in the industry, and it shouldn't be, but it just is. And we know that it is, and we know why it is, because the big firm needs to survive because it's employing thousands of people. But I generally think that you should go with a firm that does not have selling requirements. There's a great debate going on all the time about whether you should be fee-based, meaning you charge a fee for the service that you do and you explain the fees to your client and they say yes or no, or commission-based, which is the fees aren't really hidden, but the person may not even know that there's a, you know, how much the fee is inside of the product. I believe that, well, I can tell you, my firm is both. I have some fee-based things that I do, which is managing money, and I have some commission-based things that I do, which is to be your own banker whenever I sell a life insurance product. I get a commission. By the way, I tell all my clients every dime that I make on them. I give them the exact amount so they can make an assessment as to whether or not I am recommending that product and that service for my fee or whether I'm doing it because I believe it's the best thing for them. In other words, I want them to be fully advised so they say, oh yeah, this guy is on up and up. He's doing this because he thinks it's best for me, not because he's making a boatload of money. And they can't make that decision unless they know how much I'm making. So I tell every client, when they ask, what are my fees and what are my commissions? Ultimately, I think you have to structure things to serve clients and their actual needs. And you need to prove that your service works. And I don't believe most financial services firms ever do this. They tell you things. They give you pie in the sky growth charts and projections on some big computer screen. and then they leave it at that, and I don't know if they ever go back and say, hey, look, we matched and we made and we accomplished or whatever else. They usually just go looking for the next client to sell to. Why? Because that's the model of their business. And it just doesn't really work very well, in my opinion. So I have a process that I use. I tell the clients about it. And then every year, or more often if they need to, we go back and we say, hey, how are we doing? Are we hitting the marks? I have a great deal of retention in my firm. I have lost a few clients lately. I haven't lost clients in years, and I lost a few just for varying reasons. One guy decided to move all his money in one place so he could talk to one guy, not two or three. Okay, you know, whatever. I have good retention. I believe I have good retention because of this, the way my firm has fallen out and the way it's established. So, Bradley, if that helps you at all in saying, should you go to work for one of these firms, I hope that gives you some insight. And then, again, I'm going to respond to your email in greater measure. 844-527-8723. If you want to call in to listen to the Veritas Radio Network, 641-793-9640. If you have unlimited data on your phone, I mean unlimited calling, you can call that number and listen to the whole show without ever using your data plan. All right, David at TFFCO.com. You see what I just did there? I just answered a question that I received via the email for a member of the Veritas Radio Network because we care about our members. Well, guess what? Last show, I was talking about my pathetic computer that I have in front of me right here. It frustrates me because it's one of these little tiny laptops. And anyway, it was very frustrating. And I kept talking about how terrible it was treating me during the show. And one of our members, Michael, wrote me an email. And guess what? Michael is a database management expert. So he knows a thing or two about computers. And so he starts telling me, hey, you know, if you need some help, I'll be glad to give you some insight and give you some ideas where to go. So he already gave me a few in that original email, so I responded to him, and he responded back to me. And now I have a great idea of where I'm going to go to find my replacement computer. Why am I saying all this? Well, we've been trying to explain, and I'm not sure we're getting the message out very well, but we've been trying to explain that the Veritas Radio Network crusade is a crusade for the truth and a crusade to rebuild a genuine, loving, caring community of believers who help one another. Sometimes free of charge, like Michael did for me, like I just did for Bradley. Sometimes there might be a fee involved. I don't know. We haven't, you know, Mike, by the way, that's what we need to work on the most. If we get this Yellow Pages going, we need to find a way that if people want to be compensated, we can find a way to get everybody compensated. But the idea here is that we're helping one another because we believe the same things. We've joined a community. We associate around the Veritas Radio Network. Information is being pushed out and traded. And here we are, bettering one another's lives because of this association. Is that worth anything? I mean, is that worth anything? I'm not trying to be, you know, testy here and a jerk about it, but I think most of us have been looking for that thing our whole lives. And all of our towns are not that thing. I shouldn't say that. Few of our towns are this type of thing. Few of our communities really act like communities. Few of our relationships are very profitable, meaning they help each other. Most of our relationships seem to tear us down. But what we're building at the Veritas Radio Network, and you thank Mike Church, you can thank Bulldog Kia, you can thank all of our sponsors, all of our helpers, you can thank Christopher and Candace for being here working every day. We're building a community of believers who help one another, and I think I just showed you two wonderful examples. And if you want in, if you want to join to help others or to get help, it's really simple. Veritas Radio Network. .com/join, or just go there and look for the join tab. It's really, really easy. I hope you'll think about it, and I hope you'll do it. And then, like I said, Mike Church, he's got a list of about a million things to do, but on that list, I know, is to create this what I'm calling a yellow pages of Veritas Radio members, and we're all going to know what each other does if we want to be in the yellow page. You're not required to. And then we're going to say, hey, Michael's a database manager, and he can help me with computers and computer technology information stuff. Wow, I really could use that. And then, like I said, maybe it's free, maybe it's not. But at least you have somebody you can trust to go to. That's what we hope to create, and I hope you'll join us in doing it. 844-5-CRUSADE, 844-527-8723 is the way to get in here. You can also email me, because I'm just right here. Let me go check the email while I'm saying it, because, you know, I told you this computer is a pain in the rear end, and it, for whatever reason, it's very, very slow to reset and check the email again. Sometimes so slow that I can't even get it to do it. All right, so David at tffco.com.
But let me tell you about my favorite hero.
My hero, Zero. Such a funny little hero, but till you came along, we counted on our fingers and toes. Now you're here to stay. And nobody really knows how wonderful you are. Why we could never reach a star without you, Zero, my hero. How wonderful you are.
What's so wonderful about
Do you guys remember Schoolhouse Rock? Oh, yeah, man. Schoolhouse Rock was where it was at. I'd come home, and we'd watch all those afternoon shows, and in between the shows, there'd be Schoolhouse Rock, and then Saturday morning, I think they did it again throughout the cartoon segment. You know, America was so much better back then. We just seemed to kind of know how to do it. Teach kids. Have a wholesome environment. Not anymore. All right. I'm going to stop complaining. It is a beautiful day outside. Absolutely gorgeous. It's about 50 degrees or so, I think, 55, sunny, and just wonderful. We get some, every once in a while, like about 3 or 4 weeks throughout the year, we get like about a month or 6 weeks worth of wonderful weather in Louisiana, and then it turns to our normal wet, nasty, or hot and freezing, you know, nowhere in between. All right, so that introduces my little heroes and zeros segment. I already did four segments. Christopher, are we getting those things put together where we're going to try to cut and paste them into one group and put them online? Yeah. So I did one on Antonio Salazar, the Portugal's protector. My newest one is called The Statesman. By the way, this is from the exact same book, 20th Century Heroes. The author this time is not Father Thornton, but rather Steve Bonta, B-O-N-T-A. And it is about Robert Taft. Now, let me make a standard disclaimer. We're calling people heroes, and David Simpson here on the True Money Show is just reading a story to you written by someone else. I am not trying to tell you that the man I'm talking about is a perfect man, who is, but I am asserting that there are some values that the man has that we might be able to learn from. That's all that the hero segment is about. I try to bring in financial topics if they're applicable. But most importantly, what I'm trying to do with this segment is I'm trying to convince people that America is not lost if we don't want it to be. The Veritas Radio Network's crusade is based on that very simple principle that we can broadcast the truth, that people will adhere to it, and it might change their lives, and we might therefore save our country. But if we only save a part of it, or we only save our families, or we only save our souls, what difference does it make if you're working for the right side and the good thing? So what I found interesting about this story from the front end is that Robert Taft was most active through the Second World War and into the early 50s. So what we're talking about, 1940s and 50s, so these are all 20th century heroes, but what I'm talking about is a guy that literally lived just outside my own lifetime. Matter of fact, he probably lived beyond, I don't have his dates right in front of me. He probably lived beyond my life when my life started in 1964, for those who are interested. Robert Taft, it's titled The Statesman, and right away you know, okay, this is a different kind of article. When I ran for office in 2008, I didn't like everyone saying, oh, you're going to politics, you want to be a politician? You want to be a politician? Hey, who wants to be a politician? I didn't want to be a politician. I wanted to be a statesman. I don't know that I'm of that caliber, but that was what I wanted to be. I sensed in my soul that American government and American politics was doing the exact opposite of what it ought to do. I saw a bunch of largesse being spread around to factions to buy people off. In other words, I saw a bunch of graft, and I thought that's the exact opposite of what government ought to be. Government ought to be for everyone, for the common good. Well, Robert Taft sounds like he had a very similar idea. Of course, he's long before me. So these kind of things don't come true because one person believes them. They're true because they always were true. So the statesman, he chose principle over pragmatism, it says in the byline. This ties into my last two shows about tithing and charitable giving. You have to choose to sacrifice for principle, or what are you? Well, let's get started with the story about Mr. Robert Taft. 844, by the way, you can interrupt me. It doesn't bother me. You want to call in to interrupt the show and ask a question? It doesn't matter. 8445-CRUSADE, 844-527-8723. I am David Simpson, Dr. Lawyer Simpson, coming to you from the Crusade Channel of Veritas Radio Network. We are tempted to view history as a succession of great occurrences, epoch-making cataclysms like Pearl Harbor and the assassination of Robert Kennedy, that suddenly and irrevocably reroute the course of human events. But in reality, the bulk of history turns on smaller things, the apparently insignificant, even anonymous, victories and defeats, the initiatives seized and the opportunities squandered. These episodes are seldom spectacular or widely appreciated in their time, but hindsight inevitably traces their real impact. I'll interrupt the story and ask the question, is the Veritas Radio Network that type of unspectacular, even possibly ignored or unknown enterprise that starts a little course of action in history that changes things? Well, we're praying so. Back to the article. Such an episode was the Republican Convention in 1952, when a popular, charismatic general, Dwight D. Eisenhower, wrested the Republican presidential nomination from the outspoken, unapologetically conservative senator from Ohio, Robert Taft. It is impossible to gauge how history might have turned had Taft received the nomination instead and had gone on to win the presidency. Many modern conservatives and Americanists peg the Eisenhower nomination, listen to this, as the pivotal event that led to the exclusion of the pre-World War II old right from the Republican mainstream. I'm going to comment on this in a minute, but let me go on. Indeed, except for the Goldwater campaign more than a decade later, the dominant political culture among modern Republicans has been the deluded, listen, this is modern Republicanism, deluded internationalist, selectively constitutionalist dogma of the neoconservatives. Ladies and gentlemen, my point here is, this is not your father's Republican Party. It hasn't been for quite a while. But if this writer Bonta may be right, 1952 may have been the true turning point where everything that you think conservatism or Republicanism or Americanist ideas stand for were jettisoned in favor of something different and new. This is what Ron Paul was talking about a good bit. Ron Paul always said that he lauded Robert Taft. Robert Taft was one of the people that impacted him. Well, it's because Robert Taft held to something that died in America sometime around my birth. My dad, fortunately, nurtured me on those ideas. Let's go on and read about Mr. Taft. Robert Alfonso Taft was born in Cincinnati in 1889, was destined to lead if any man ever was. His father, William Howard Taft, was the only man ever to be both a U.S. president and Chief Justice of the Supreme Court. Like his father, Robert Taft was educated at Yale. I would have thought that a negative, but anyway, where he graduated at the top of his class. He then studied at Harvard Law. Again, I'd have thought that a negative, where he received the highest marks of any student in 15 years. But listen to this. Despite his extraordinary potential, Robert Taft turned down job prospects in Washington and returned to Ohio, apparently feeling little inclination to follow in his father's distinguished footsteps. Let me interrupt here. Is this an? Maybe he'd been at the highest levels of academia, ready, sitting there on the precipice of taking over a family dynasty in politics, and he says, "Nah, I'm gonna go back to Ohio and marry my childhood sweetheart." Is this an early exercise of the principle that we're talking about, that someone could disavow all the allurements of the world and choose instead a simple but noble path of being a man that earns and cuts his own way, provides for his family, and loves his community? I think it was, and I think that's why Robert Taft becomes one of our 20th century heroes. 844-5-CRUSADE, 844-527-8723. I'm continuing with my Heroes and Zeros segment. I hope you like it. I don't read the entire article in one show. I break it up into multiple shows, but we're going to patch these things together and provide them as little episodes that you can get at one time by downloading at the website if you're a member. Again, all these values we're trying to add to the website should encourage you to go to VeritasRadioNetwork.com and join. If you notice you haven't heard any commercials, you're getting a full article being expounded upon to you here on the Veritas Radio Network because we're trying to be radio the way it should be. So he returns home to Ohio, not following in his father's distinguished footsteps. He married college sweetheart Martha Bowers and settled down to a modest family life and quiet career with a Cincinnati law firm. But Taft's anonymity would not endure. Alarmed at the radical political agenda of the so-called progressives and stirred by momentous events in Europe, such as World War and the Russian Revolution, Taft soon became heavily involved in local and state politics. Throughout his life, Taft's detractors, listen to this, this is so common, and this is one of the things that drives me nuts. Throughout his life, Taft's detractors found fault with his public persona. They didn't like the way he looked and acted. boy, does that ever fit. His manner was too blunt, they said. His demeanor too distant. He lacked the unctuous warmth of the natural politician. Well, let me give you a little hint, guys. If you have a politician that so strokes your back and your ego, and you feel all warm and fuzzy inside when he's doing this, I'm going to give you a little hint. He's probably working you. He didn't give a darn about what you think or feel or need or anything else about the country. He wants your vote. And Taft didn't act that way. He just said the truth. What? The truth? You can't say the truth. That'll hurt your career. Well, he didn't care. So he lacked the unctuous warmth of the, what does it say? The unctuous warmth of the natural politician. But he compensated with uncommon character assets. He was a man of unwavering convictions and personal courage. Listen to this. He never used profanity and was a faithful, devoted husband. He was physically unimposing, to the delight of his caricaturist, standing just over 6 feet, with large ears, prominent upper teeth, and rapidly receding hair. But his considerable mental powers, especially his memory, as well as his immense legal erudition, made him a persuasive speaker and debater. I'm going to take a short break here in a minute to wet my throat with my very rapidly cooling coffee. But we're going to return to the story of Robert Taft because I think we need to hear more about 20th century heroes who did change the course, at least for a time, in our country, and who can do it again if we just believe. You're listening to The True Money Show, the Crusade Channel, the Veritas Radio Network. I'm David Simpson, and this is radio the way it should be. Money.